Hello, one of the ladies, dear Minister, the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 31, 2017, or it is Sivan 6, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, He Touched Me.
Shackled with a heavy burden,
neath a load of
guilt and shame, the blood of Yahshua touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and all the joy that fills my soul, something happened, and now I know He touched me, and made me and some of this blessed Savior, since He comes and made me whole, I'll never cease to praise Him. I shall for eternity roam. He touched me. Oh, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me.
Born Again, Part 8, we're going to continue on our series. We're on 13 Symbolic Codes, number 11 and 12. And we want to finish out our study on that. Let's go ahead and look at some key scriptures, though. And John chapter 3. At verse 3, it says, Yahshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay. So don't marvel about that. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of Yahweh, which liveth and which abideth forever. Okay, it says that here in our reading in 13 Symbolic Codes, number 11, we're going to do a little review on page 17. It says, let's back up to the last paragraph of page 16. It says, for not the hearers of the law, the Ten Commandment law, which is not the whole law, it's just the Ten Commandments. There's more than Ten Commandments in the law of Yahweh, the whole law. It says, are just before Yahweh. But the doers of the law, and that is the whole law, not just the Ten Commandments, but the doers of the whole law, Romans 2:13, shall be justified. So now when you go back to Leviticus 23, you'll find out what involves the whole law. the statutes of the whole law. Now keep in mind the holy days, the Sabbath days, there's 70 Jewish holy days in a year. There's 52 seventh day Sabbaths, they are 12 new moon Sabbaths, and they are 6 annual feasts. To go with the new moon, and there's 18 altogether, 12 new moons and 6 annual feasts. 52 Sabbaths, that makes 70 holy days a year that constitute the statutes of the whole law. Now the statutes, just to set the Sabbath days, holy days are not the whole law, they're just statutes that are part, makes up part of the whole law. Okay? It says, then Paul goes on to explain that no one is actually justified by the keeping of, here Vital says the law, and the other place he says the Ten Commandments. And Ten Commandments is only a portion of the whole law. Okay, it says, then Paul goes on to explain that no one is actually justified by the keeping of the, and I don't, it says the law, but I'm going to put the word whole in front of it, and the keeping of the whole law. H.T. Hollis is referring though to the Ten Commandments. He calls it the Decalogue itself. So let's read that again. For the Paul goes on to explain that no one is actually justified by the keeping of the Ten Commandments. Actually, that's what P.T. Hollis is referring to. And he goes all around the Ten Commandments by saying, the law, parentheses, the Decalogue. Completely skirts saying actually what he means. So this is what I'm talking about. Prophets, V.T. Hollis, we couldn't go on without him. We wouldn't have a message without V.T. Hollis, because he's one of the connecting links of prophecy. And he did something that no other prophet could do, because they didn't have the calling for it, and that was interpret the fine interpretations of typology, type and antitype, and the explanation of like the seven trumpets and the seven seals, giving the interpretation of all those symbols of the fire, blood, and water that's found there in the seven trumpets, and connect them up with the seven seals, and connect them up with the seven last plagues, and tying all those in together and showing that where the symbols had the same meaning in all those three different subjects. He had an interpretation of prophecy that he alone was granted. And so therefore, without that, we couldn't understand the fulfillment of those prophecies today if he wasn't given clarity on the parables and the prophecies. So having said that, let's continue on now with V.T. Hollis on page 17. This is the last part of 16 again. Then Paul goes on to explain that no one is actually justified by the keeping of the Ten Commandments itself, because there is, I'll add this part, because there is no blood offering forgiveness of sins if anyone breaks the Ten Commandments. Besides, the Ten Commandments are only commands what not to do. Okay. And they're not commands that justify the sinner. That he can go to the same Ten Commandments and say, well, I've broken this commandment and I'm sorry for it. You have to go to the law of Yahshua, the commandments of Yahshua. That's found in the sanctuary to get the justification and forgiveness. Okay, so it says, Paul goes on to explain that no one is actually justified by the keeping of the Ten Commandment law itself, that it points out the sinner's transgression, pronounces his doom, then sends him condemned unto Yahshua his Savior, who alone through the merits of his atoning blood, which is shed forth in the sanctuary above by his own self, which he shed in behalf of all sinners, can forgive him, justify him, and go on to sanctify him. Thus the apostle writes. So the blood has many virtues. It forgives, it justifies, it sanctifies, and according to Romans 8:28-30, it glorifies. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Not the forgiveness of it, but now the righteousness of Yahweh without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh, which is by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, Messiah, unto all, and upon all them that believe in his blood. I always have the blood verse missing. For there is no difference, for all have sinned on both sides of the coin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Yahshua Messiah. Do we then make void the law through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua and the law of the Spirit, Romans 8:2, of the Yahshua? Yahweh forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What law? The whole law. First we establish the fact that the Ten Commandments has been broken, and then we establish the fact that when we go to, we are sent to Yahshua, when we repent of breaking the Ten Commandment law, then we are sent unto Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary, in the first department, where he's officiating as a high priest, on behalf of all of those that are repentant. Go to Romans chapter 6 and read the whole chapter, 23 verses there, explains that. So it says the reason that Paul's readers, not inferentially, encounter difficulty in the understanding his epistles is that they read them as books instead of as letters. Hence, all who will understand them now will keep in view the fact that he wrote them unto the groups with whom he had previous acquaintance, in correspondence of whose troubles and queries he had previous knowledge. It was in that vein that he wrote unto them, so he knew what to say unto them, and they well understood what he meant. Consequently, if we are to understand his letters, we must first become conversant with the condition that call forth the letters. And to do this, one must, by the studying of each letter, endeavor to find out what were the recipient's problem that he has tried to solve. Otherwise, there can only follow confusion. That's what Paul is talking about. Read them in this fashion, and you will discover that they are not so difficult to understand as they seem to be. And and let none deceive you with their gross interest or their gross self-interest, their vain words, fair speeches, and crooked interpretations. By grace through the faith and the blood of the Yahshua, Ephesians 2:8, keep the truth sanctified in your heart, and it will wash you in the blood of Yeshua, cleanse you and keep you clean, and clothe upon you the robes of his righteousness. His glorious character, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior and Yeshua the Messiah. So, Peter 1:10-11. No one who abides in the love of Yeshua will ever turn a deaf ear unto his word, whether revealed through himself, through his apostles, or through his prophet. Such a one cannot possibly lose out, for should he, after being born again, stumble into sin, not deliberately walk into it, then he has Yeshua Messiah, his advocate, in heaven to plead his case alone for his sin, and cleanse him from the guilt, and cleanse him by his own blood, Yeshua's own blood, from the guilt of it forever. 1 John 2:1-9. According unto the salvation of the faithful today, as in all ages, has been eternally secured by the assured sacrifice of himself for all in the payment of the penalty of the death upon all for the transgressions of the law of the Yahweh. This so great salvation did he secure, not by making the law valid for one age and void for another, Yahweh forbid. He secured it by the atoning blood of Yeshua for the penitent sinners of all ages, by grace through the faith in the wondrous efficacy of that blood. Every penitent, pardoned soul is eternally freed from the condemnation of the broken law. Oh, amazing mercy that leaves no mortal a chance for losing out if he wants to win. Also, seriously consider that. What wicked discrimination, what destructive confusion, what dreadful injustice. What kind of a Yahweh do most Christians serve? Is it not the... Let's look at that again. What kind of a God do most Christians serve? Oh, well, then I said, is it not the Satan God? I put Satan in there. Is it not the God of the lawlessness, which is Satan himself, do most Christians serve? Well, in the first place, those that serve Satan, the God of lawlessness, are not Christians to begin with. So here's another play on words. Pete Hollis is talking about the Sunday going to meeting that people, the Gentiles and the heathen that go and worship on Sunday. He's talking about them. He's calling them Christians. But he also has to throw the Catholics in there too, because their Sunday go to meeting people, and they first and foremost call themselves Catholics. And the Sunday keepers that worship along side by side with them, not down the street from them on Sunday, they're just neighbors, and they're all controlled by one head, and that's Satan. Is it not the God of lawlessness for him to charge the Yahweh of love and justice to have demanded from his chosen people perfect obedience unto his law, and to have commanded the Gentiles entire disobedience unto it? The Yahweh of the law and order in heaven and earth counsels us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20:8. And also to remember the law which he commanded unto Moses and Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment, Malachi 4:4. The law of the Ten Commandments, where it says, the law of the Ten Commandments. Isn't this amazing? The Ten Commandments has a law that governs them. And that's the whole law of Yahweh. The Ten Commandments are just ten precepts, which is called the Decalogue. It's called the Two Tables of Testimony, Exodus 31:18. And then here in Exodus also, they're listed in Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17. For the interpretation of it, see chapter 21 to 23. For the inspiration also declares that by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay. It's not just by the law of the Ten Commandments. You can break the law of the blood offering. And that's called sin. Romans 3:20. That sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. That the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. If there is no law, then there is no sin. And there should be no death. And therefore, no need for either to the Bible or a Savior. Would Yahshua say that was an addition to the Ten Commandment law? Were the two greatest commandments of all was love the Yahweh with all thy heart and your neighbor as yourself. That's the two greater commandments than the Ten Commandments. If there is no law, then there is no sin. The reason why it's called the Ten Commandments of the Decalogue, because that's all Yahweh wrote on the front of those two tables of stone, was the Ten Commandments. Remember, too, that when the rich young ruler asked what he must do to have eternal life, Yahshua answered. His answer was, keep the commandments. Yahshua didn't say keep the Ten Commandments alone. He just said keep the commandments. There's more than ten. So he was including all those other commandments that they are never mentioned along with the ten. And his answer today is the same. See Revelation 22:14. When the ruler inquired which commandments he should keep, the Yahshua plainly told him, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Matthew 19:18-19. It says, here you see that the moral law and the commandment are synonymous. Think not, he declared, that I am come to destroy or to put away the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the prophecy concerning me and my work. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, and they still stand, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So, for all these people that only believe that there's only Ten Commandments, and that represents the whole law of Yahweh, they are very deficient in their knowledge of the law. I dare say that they could never graduate from a Bible college with only that limited knowledge, thinking that the whole law only is just the Ten Commandments. They can never graduate from the course because they wouldn't have completed the course. They just only touch the tip of the iceberg. And so all these Bible colleges that graduates people from their colleges, especially these Christian colleges that are just only advocate Sunday keeping in place of the Sabbath, and they graduate these theology students with preachers' certificate, qualifying them to go get in a church pulpit and preach the Bible, gospel they call it, the gospel of Yahshua, And even the Ten Commandments, it teaches all there is to the law, and then they don't even keep the fourth commandment of the ten. And James 2:10 says, "Whoso shall keep the whole law, and yet sin in one point, guilty of all." If they kept all the Ten Commandments, they'd be only keeping 1%, maybe 1% of the whole law anyway. So that's how deficient our preachers are in all categories and in all different denominations, including the Seventh-day Adventists. So whosoever, let's continue reading, we're on page 21. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire. Matthew 5:17-19, 21-22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. They shall come to pass that from one new moon to another. That comes every month. 12 months out of the, every calendar year you have a round of 12 new moons. And that's another amazing thing. The new moons, there's 12 new moons in a year. It's 12 months in a year. And when the new moon starts out, the first new moon of the year starts in the first month of the year, which is called springtime. Starts in March, April. And then when it gets around and finishes the 12th new moon of that year, that's in around February, March. And as soon as that 12th month is over, then we start all over a new lunar year with a new date. And it starts again on the first month. And so it goes to another 12-month cycle to accomplish another year. And then it says, and from one Sabbath to another, and the Adventist reads that to be from one seventh-day Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh, Isaiah 6:22-23. The new moon every month punctuates Yahweh's calendar in the sky, showing the time to keep the annual feast and their seasons. And the first annual feast is the Passover in the first month. It follows 15 days after the new moon of the first month. You have the Passover, which is once a year. That's your seasonal annual of Sabbath. And then Pentecost, you have it in the third month. So you have it in the second season of the year. There's 90 days to a season. So the second season of the month of the year, you have the Pentecost in the third month. And then in the seventh month, you have the Atonement, which is once a year. That's in the third season. Okay. And then when the fourth season, you don't have any annual holy days in the fourth season of the year. You only have the new moon Sabbath once a month. So it says the prophets, the Old Testament, including Yahshua, and the New Testament, as I told you earlier in my first sermon, last sermon, that Yahshua is the last prophet of the Old Testament. Because the cross is a dividing line between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yahshua lived 33.5 years before in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, he was born and lived and died and brought the Old Testament to a close by his life and death and resurrection. He brought the Old Testament to a close. Well, did you know that Brother Johnson, in the antitype of Yahshua's life of 33 and a half years here on earth, starting in 1970, Brother Johnson with the branch message, Isaac Branch message, which is another name for Yahshua in the scriptures, the branch, Brother Johnson had the antitype of Yahshua's 33 and a half years of his life, and then of his crucifixion again. And you go to Revelation 11 for the prophecy on that. His spiritual crucifixion, it wasn't his literal physical crucifixion, but he was being crucified afresh in the persons of the people that he had appointed over his kingdom. So the people that Yahshua had appointed over his kingdom turned on him and crucified him afresh and put him in open shame and brought the antitypical 33 and a half years of Yahshua's ministry to a close in the antitype. So he says, positively magnifies and perpetuates the Ten Commandment law. And here now, V.T. Hardiff is calling the Ten Commandment a singular law. You see, when you're not a scribe of the law, I mean an attorney, somebody that's trained in the true interpretation of the law, like Ezra the scribe was coming out of Babylonian captivity, him and Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel the governor, Ezra was the high priest, he was the interpreter of the law, he was a scribe of the law. Well, see, those that are interpreting the law today, V.T. Hardiff, he was not a scribe of the law. If V.T. Hardiff had been a scribe of the law, then he would have interpreted the antitypical law of Moses as being the sanctuary restored back to its rightful order and put into operation, and he would have been the one to have done it if V.T. Hardiff had been trained as a scribe of the law. But he was not trained by Yahweh or the Son Yahshua to be a scribe of the law. He was trained to be a prophet, to interpret timely prophecies and to give the clarification and understanding of the prophecies and the parables and the symbols and type and antitype and the allegories. And he could do all of that. He could explain their true significance in a proper way. And so that was his calling, but he was not a scribe of the law. That's the reason why he died all alone, and not all alone, but in the hospital, without any clue as to where, other than the fact that he told him, he said, move on with the next movement, he said, and he said, the branch, whoever it will be, will have it will be the branch as your next great movement. And so there you have it. It says, the Sabbath is to be kept, they declare, even in the new earth. Well, that's wonderful, but Isaiah 66 tells us that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, and so there's 12 new moons every year, and there's 52 seventh-day Sabbaths every year. And then there's 6 annual feasts and their seasons every year, so make a total of 70. So that's how many Sabbaths that you keep when you come from or go from one Sabbath to the other. And 70 is a complete number. Okay, it says, for the whole law is holy, and the commandment holy. Here now he's using that commandment in a singular term. And he's using the whole law in the plural form. He said, in other words, he's saying, for the whole law of the commandments, statutes, judgments, precepts, and ordinances, they're all rolled into one, making up the whole law of Yahweh. And he says, and just and good, Romans 7:12. David, in his rapt inspiration, too, declares, the law is the truth. All thy commandments are truth. Psalms 19:142 and 151. And Paul concludes, we know that the law is spiritual, Romans 7:14. Hence James, all comprehensive conclusion. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, and I just give to you what the whole law was, all statutes, precepts, judgments, commandments, ordinances, all combined into one that represents the whole law of Yahweh, and yet offend in one point. Okay, meaning that any point that you are admonished to perform your vows, where it says in Nahum 1:15, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, so the wicked shall no longer pass through thee, he's utterly cut off. So you want to make sure you perform all your vows, you keep all the statutes, judgments, precepts, and ordinances that are binding upon you under the new covenant, under the blood of the Yeshua. He is guilty of all. Thou believest that there is one Yahweh, thou believest well. For the devils also believe and tremble, James 2:10 and 19. The unrepentant lawbreakers, be they devils or humans, are lost forever. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. Okay, it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Revelation 22:14 and 15. When Yeshua was asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yeshua said unto him, Thou shalt love the Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:36-40. Let us note carefully that the commandments were written by the Yahweh himself on two tables of stone. The first one contained the first four commandments, those which demand love unto Yahweh, and the second table contained the last six commandments, those which demand love to our fellow man. These two tables with their 10 precepts, 4 on the one and 6 on the other, Yahweh summarizes them in two commandments and declares that they are the great commandment. All of the 10 commandments therefore are great. There is no distinction between one and the other. So it is that on these commandments hang the law and the prophets. Now, he should say, hangs the whole law and the prophet. And then he says, hyphen, the whole Bible. Instead of putting the word whole in front of the law, he put it, the word whole in front of the Bible. Okay, it cannot fail, neither can the commandments fail. That he who does not repent for having broken them, and does not stop breaking them, will certainly fall to the bottom of the pit. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yahweh shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. This is what the Bible teaches concerning the 10 commandment law, of which the Sabbath is a part. And this is what a Christian must believe, do and teach if he expects to have a place in the everlasting kingdom of the heaven. I added that in the place of in the kingdom of God. I'm going to reread that last again. This is what the Holy Scriptures teaches concerning of the Ten Commandment law. of which the Sabbath is a part. And this is what a Christian must believe, do, and teach if he expects to have a place in the everlasting kingdom of the heaven here on earth, when it is set up under the law of Moses by the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David, executing his statutes and judgments from the throne of David upon all of those who have failed to come up and comply with all of the commandments of the sanctuary, as they have all been exposed and opened up unto not only the house of Israel, but unto the Gentiles and the whole world. It's like a lighthouse upon a hill along the side of the ocean. For all ships passing by on a clear night certainly can see that lighthouse from afar. And now, as the truth on the law, particularly on the Sabbath, is ablaze like the burning bush on Horeb, and as its penetrating light exposes the subtle heresies that are trying everyone's faith into the limit, the voice of the inspiration admonishingly and challengingly asks, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings 18:21. How did Sunday, the first day of the week instead of Saturday, the seventh day, come to be observed as a Sabbath? For your answer, read history, article Sunday. The fact that every prominent heresy ever taught came through men who were held in the high esteem and respect as ministers of Yahweh should in itself be the greatest of eye-openers. Tragic truth that it solemnly adjures us never to lose out of reckoning of the grim reality that no mortal on the earth can afford to base his faith on another's conviction or reputation, but solely upon his own personal and unbiased examination of the purported truth. Such a one will ever trust for the guidance only the Spirit of Yahweh, who searches all things, yea, the deep things of Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 2:10. He is the only one who leads every Elohim trusting individual into all the truth, John 14:26 and 16:13. There is no other safe course, none other, that gives that peace which passes all understanding, 1 Corinthians 4:7. Why are ministers led to devise heresies? Because the enemy of the souls knows that the laity, with but few exceptions, depend on the ministers and accept their opinions of the freshly revealed truth, instead of trusting implicitly in the Spirit of Yahweh to guide them into all truth through a personal examination of the purported revelation. Moreover, ever since the dawn of the sacred history has truth found itself born in the halls of learning, or in the minds of the so-called great and wise, but only when and where holy men of the Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21. And what is more, what few so-called great ever have come to study the unpopular truths that have been among the very last to embrace it, although among the very first to fight against it and to keep their flocks from it, hence to remember and to guard vigilantly against this dominant deadly peril, is a prime requisite for the following of the Yahshua and for the receiving of the great salvation, Hebrews 2:3, which he hath wrought for us by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. To sanctify the demands of the broken law, Romans 8:3-4:2, and Corinthians 5:21, Galatians 3:13, and 1 Peter 2:24. For the condemnation which the Yeshua, the true witness, last pronounces is against the angel, the ministry of the ministry of the temple of the letter sin, Willis W. Johnson, not against the Seventh-day Adventist Church collectively itself, and not against the laity at all. See Revelation 3:14-18. But the laity is guilty if they depend upon one man to be their mind and conscience, an interpreter of the truths that they have to have the true interpretation of, and also be commanded to follow all the truth as it unfolds on a daily basis, if they are to have salvation ever in the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Moreover, since the true witness himself openly declares that they are the ones who feel in need of nothing more, that they are the lukewarm, satisfied, and contented in their delusion, and determined to stay poor and blind, thus to be spewed out, then what hope is there that they will ever arouse the laity to see and to accept freshly revealed truth with which to heal the latest sin malady? None whatsoever, no more than there was hope for the Jewish laity ever to be enlightened by their priests and rabbis, hence the inevitability of their trying to confuse Yahweh's message and to bar it from reaching their flocks. The Yahshua assures, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. John 10:14-27-29. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the everlasting kingdom of the David, same as the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, with the Yahshua as the king sitting upon the throne of David in this kingdom, which is in charge, the Judah, the lawgiver, the tribe of Judah is the lawgiver in charge of this everlasting kingdom. And all of the rest of the 11 tribes will come and worship under the authority of this lawgiver, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of this kingdom of David. Luke 1:32, it gives us that reference. It says, to know which day Yahweh blessed, hallowed, and set aside for mankind to keep is indeed commendable. But this knowledge alone is insufficient. To know how to keep it holy and to really keep it is of far greater importance. We should therefore not neglect to look into it. And I want to say this. Those that only believe in the seventh-day Sabbath is the only Sabbath that's binding for man to keep today for the house of Israel. They have been deceived. Because just keeping the seventh-day Sabbath holy is impossible if you don't believe in all the rest of the Sabbath days that follow, and keep them just as holy as you keep the seventh-day Sabbath. You cannot keep the whole law if you only keep the seventh-day Sabbath and neglect the other 18 additional holy days a year that are called Sabbath days. If you don't believe in them, say that those are nailed to the cross, and you only believe in the seventh-day Sabbath and you try to keep it holy, that's the reason why Adventists find it impossible to keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy, even though they believe it's the right day, even though they sit at the side and worship on that day. They still cannot keep it holy. Their preachers don't teach them how to keep it holy because they don't know how. They don't know that they have to acknowledge all of the holy days that goes with it in the course of the year, and they all have to be kept holy a lot. And so that's what it says in Isaiah 58:20. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, Isaiah 58:13. It says, and I'll read that to you. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, it didn't say just the Sabbath, seventh-day Sabbath alone, it just said the Sabbath, whichever Sabbath happens to be at the time that it comes around, whether it be an annual Sabbath or a weekly Sabbath or a monthly Sabbath, a new moon Sabbath. Whatever Sabbath it is, it's talking about all of them. Isaiah's talking about all of them, 70 of them a year. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high place of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Now folks, that says a whole lot right there. We're getting more clarity all the time on just the teaching of the validity and sanctity of the whole seventh-day Sabbath. Back to our reading, 13 symbolic code number 11. We're on to the last paragraph, page 26. To know which day Yahweh blessed, hallowed, and set aside for the mankind to keep is indeed commendable, but this knowledge alone is insufficient. To know how to keep it holy, and that means if you know how to keep the seventh day Sabbath holy, then you know how to keep all the other days holy as well, because the whole law teaches you how to do that. And to really keep it is of far greater importance. We should therefore not neglect to look into it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh the Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. The word remember would not have been included if men were not apt to forget the Sabbath. We are saying inspiration. We are, it says inspiration, to keep holy not a Sabbath, but the Sabbath. We are to keep it holy because it alone Yahweh blessed and hallowed. Now follow the examples of how to keep it holy. Now this is where B.T. Holliff made his fatal mistake. This is where he couldn't recover himself after he taught what I just read you here, and I'm going to read that again. This is where he made his fatal mistake. This is why the Davidians could not keep any Sabbath day holy, and they did not keep any Sabbath day holy, as far as I know. And I know the serious ones kept it to the best of their knowledge that they had. But V.T. Hollis didn't teach 100% clear facts on how to keep the Seventh Day Sabbath holy. And that's the reason why V.T. Hollis died early, and the shepherd rod people scattered on every hillside. Let's read that again. The word remember would not have been included if men were not apt to forget the Sabbath. We are, says inspiration, to keep holy not a Sabbath, but the Sabbath. So he's saying, that you're not supposed to keep those other Sabbath days holy because they're not binding to keep anyway. So therefore, but if they come up on your calendar every year. They're in their slot every year on your calendar on the wall. Those eight Sabbaths, the Passover, Pentecost, Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, Solemn Assembly, Feast of Unleavened Bread, they all come up on your calendar every year, just like the seventh-day Sabbath does. So, Vitihalva is saying, you're only supposed to concentrate on keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, not a Sabbath or any other Sabbath that may come up, like your new moons and your annual Sabbath. We are to keep it holy because it alone, Yahweh blessed and hallowed. Now he's saying that Yahweh only blessed and hallowed the seventh day Sabbath. Did you know he created the new moon Sabbath on the fourth day of creation? And that's in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. When he created the new moon, he created the moon, the sun, and the stars. And the first day was the moon that was created was on the fourth day of creation. So on the fourth day of creation, because Yahweh started his work on the first day, and that was on Sunday, when he started creating the world. And the seventh day Sabbath, he created on the seventh day. He created the new moon Sabbath on the fourth day. So Vitihalva said, but you're not supposed to keep that because it's not binding. But yet, Jeremiah 31-33 says it is. Okay. We are to keep it holy because it alone Yahweh blessed and hallowed. Well, that is an untruth. He blessed and hallowed all of his holy days. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which Yahweh has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yahweh. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Okay. And Moses said, eat that today, for the day, today is a Sabbath unto Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field, 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? In other words, how long will you refuse to keep any of my commandments? He's talking about all of them, not just the Ten Commandments, and my laws. What is he talking about, his laws? His laws that govern the collection of physical food on the Sabbath day. He gave the command not to do it. That is a law of Yahweh. See that for that Yahweh hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, Exodus 16:22-30. So we are not to go out of our place on the Sabbath day either. When the Sabbath comes along, we're supposed to have everything in place in our homes. Well, I'm saying you can go outside and walk around on your property, but just to get in your car and go drive to an Adventist church somewhere, that is breaking the commandment of Yahweh, especially when he has placed his name in a certain place and he's commanded you to worship where he chooses to place his name. And for us, that's right here in this home, right here at Liberty Hill, in Liberty Hill, Texas. Okay, this brings to the close of this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Wonderful Words of Love. see, wonderful is the flower, is the flower and beauty, teach me faith and duty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. That's what the Blessed One gives to all, wonderful words of love. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of love. Oh, so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Yes, your Holy Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.